Chapter 4, 341.
Siresh!
Corpheron bellowed again for his aid.
Siresh! I need more ink!
He would have the laggard priest flogged for his tardiness, the archdeacon vowed as he returned his attention to the pile of assorted materials on his desk. Wafers and parchments, paper and autoscribed sheets, all covered with a plethora of text and handwriting. I asked Siresh to step out for a while. The voice caused Corpheron's heart to hammer in his chest, and he looked up with a gasp, scarce believing he'd heard it. At the grand doorway into the suite of chambers held by the archdeacon stood a figure swathed in dark hood and robe, an appalling disguise, really, for one who was nearly twice as tall as a normal man.
Lorca!
Corpheron shot to his feet, a flood of competing thoughts racing through his mind. Why had he returned? Was something amiss? Had he learned of Corpheron's refugee relocation activities with some of the survivors of the pro-powers cults? Was the war over? This last question burned to the top of the list.
Kahafala has fallen!
Is that the welcome you give me? Lorgar pulled back his hood to reveal his naked scalp, much tanned by his long travels. It has been near a year and a half since I departed these walls. Have you no fondness at all for my return?
You are ecclesiarch, Lorgar, not a wayward child,
chided Corpheron.
When you departed, you swore that you would not return until the One held dominion over all of Colchis. Is that so?
Not yet, confessed Lorgar. He cast about for somewhere to sit, but found nothing equal to his weight and bulk, and so sat on the floor in front of Corpheron's desk, his head still level with the standing archdeacon. Corpheron sat down in his ornate chair, somewhat grateful for the illusion of a barrier his desk provided. There was something different about his former acolyte.
You have seen much, he said, drawing his own conclusion. The hidden nature of mortals and faith has been revealed to you. You see another truth.
I would not wish what I have witnessed on any mortal.
But it was unavoidable. When there is only one, there can be no others. This is fundamental to your faith.
Our faith. And I do not swerve from that course.
For one so gifted with words and speech, you lie terribly, Lorgar. Your presence betrays a swerve.
Not in my faith in the One. The visions are more powerful than ever. It is that which has brought me here. The golden figure and the one-eyed magister. What if it is a warning? Gahavala is protected by arcane techno-sorceries. What if the magister I see in my dreams is one of them? Am I to make alliance, not conquest?
Have they shown themselves willing to listen to the word?
For a quarter of a year, the scour storm has raged. None have entered or left Gahavala in that time. I do not think they wish to parley.
The very stones of the city are steeped in the blood of sacrifices to the powers, as much as the holy city. Are you willing to share authority with those who would continue to rip the hearts from their servants, to offer up the burned remains of their foes to the lords of the Imperium?
That is not the law, and the law of the One.
And there is your answer, Lorgar. You have travelled for many days for nothing. As with all matters of faith, you had your answer already. Or was it something else that you wanted to share?
342. Lorgar did not answer, but stood and paced for a while, head almost brushing the great chandeliers that hung from the dome of the office. Though his attention was elsewhere, Corpheron did not think he was listening to the universal music that filled his thoughts. What are you writing? Lorgar asked suddenly, ignoring the archdeacon's earlier question.
Transcribing,
Corpheron replied. He indicated the scraps and ragtag documents.
Your words, actually. There are different versions all over Colchis, from every converted city and tribe and pilgrimage. Records of your sermons, transcripts of your conversations with converts and foes alike. Your story, your faith, and your thoughts given form.
Edited appropriately, suggested Lorgar. Corferon felt himself flush at the gentle accusation, but could not deny it.
Only for brevity and clarity. You repeat yourself often. I will show it to no other until you have approved my work.
Lorgar nodded absent-mindedly, not quite comprehending the importance of Corferon's literary endeavour.
It is to replace the revelations of the prophets.
This cold statement sank into Lorgar's thoughts, and a fierce light burned in his eyes. You worried once that I might be the prophet of the fifth power. But I am more than that. I am the cleansing, the purification of Colchis. All blasphemies shall be washed away to prepare for the arrival of the One. Corferon let nothing of his unease show, though unseen beneath the desk his fingers made a swift sign of the four, a brief assurance to the powers that one of true faith remained, and would return Colchis to them.
So now you have found that which you needed to confront the Magistus.
I have, said Lorgar with a smile, but it soon faded and was replaced by an expression of fatigue. He looked through the door to the neighbouring bedchamber and its grand cot. Might I prevail upon your hospitality for rest, Eve? I shall leave Varadesh with the first light of Maunday to be back with my army by Dawnaway. The archdeacon nodded, wondering how the ecclesiarch might cross a continent so swiftly. Lorgar ducked through the archway. It was only a matter of moments before the sonorous breathing of the giant sounded from the adjoining room. Corferon moved to the communications chamber, past the artifices that linked to the prayer hailers in temples across the city, and opened the shutters to step out onto the balcony. Here, trained messenger ravens were kept in an aviary, as sure a method of contact as the temperamental archaeotech that the gun deacons used to communicate over long distances. He retrieved a small slip of paper from a receptacle beside the cage and the pen beside it, and wrote quickly. Opening the aviary, he selected a bird and slid the message into the tube on its leg. He released the raven, which swiftly disappeared into the night, heading for the way station at Oralto, and from there, via other means, to Silena. For good or ill, Lorgar's fate would be determined in the coming days, and with it, the future of the Covenant. It was time for the Dark Heart to assemble and prepare for either eventuality.